I'm not going to ask how old you are, but depending on when you were born, you may never have voted in a referendum before. As the debate over a voice to Parliament heats up, it's worth remembering that Australia hasn't held a referendum for more than 20 years, and one constitutional expert says we're out of the habit. On top of that, history shows even when we do hold one, it's very rarely approved. So what makes a successful referendum? Sarah Dingle explains.
Why have taken the white Australians just on 200 years to recognise us as a race of people?
The time has come when Australia can no longer tolerate legal racial discrimination against its Indigenous people.
It's a matter of democratic right.
The 1967 referendum was, by any measure, a colossal success. An overwhelming majority of Australians voted in favour of allowing the federal government to make laws in relation to Aboriginal people and to include Aboriginal people in the census. More than 90% said yes, but that took a lot of groundwork.
So you had really strong, broad consensus, both across political parties, but also between the Commonwealth and state governments.
That's Dr. Paul Kilday, senior lecturer at the University of New South Wales Faculty of Law and Justice. He says by the time of the actual vote, support for yes was near universal.
So much so that when the pamphlet went out, there was no case printed in it. This proposal also was debated over many years, indeed decades. So it was well ventilated and understood by the time it was put to voters. And just a sense among the public that it was time for change and that this particular change could improve the welfare of First Nations people and was the right thing to do.
By 1967, there had been a sustained education campaign by both Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians.
Vote yes for Aborigines, they want to be Australians too. Vote yes and give them rights and freedoms just like me and you. Vote
out of the 44 referendums in this nation's history, a mere 8 have been approved. Dr. Kilday says the bar for constitutional amendment is high.
Section 128 says that if you want to change the constitution, first of all, a proposal to do that needs to be passed by an absolute majority of the federal parliament. And at that point, it can be put to a referendum. And there you need to achieve what is called a double majority. And that means the proposal needs to garner both a national majority of votes plus a majority of votes in at least 4 of the 6 states. And if you look at the record, we've had 8 proposals succeed, but an additional 5 have achieved the national majority but have fallen over at the second hurdle and have therefore failed.
On the face of it, the few referendums which have been approved don't have much in common. Apart from 1967, we've had successful referendums on Senate election timings, social services, 2 on state debts, and 1 successful referendum on referendums. That last one was about allowing electors in the 2 territories, the ACT and the NT, to vote in referendums, which was passed, although Queensland voters were the least keen on that. Dr. Paul Kilday says if you read between the lines, there is a sort of recipe there for referendum success.
First of all, you want to have a sound proposal, so something that's been thought through and debated over time and that is seen to be addressing a real problem. So you don't want proposals that are rushed or that are seen to be about advancing the interests of politicians. Second, you also want to have broad consensus. So that's agreement among parties in the federal parliament, but also across the federation. And agreement here is more helpful than division because it sends a signal to voters and also weakens any public case that there's going to be against change. And third, you want to have strong leadership, so a prime minister and a government willing to make the case for change to voters.
On top of all that, Dr. Kilday says we've actually gotten out of the habit of having referendums. Since 1977, almost half a century ago, we've only held 8. And 1977 was also the last time a referendum succeeded.
I think if you look at history, it shows pretty clearly that we've stopped holding referendums. We've become less inclined to pull the trigger on them. And in fact, since 1988, we have only put 2 proposals to voters, both of them in 1999. So it's clear that governments have decided that they're less willing to put proposals for constitutional reform, perhaps because of the immense political capital that it takes to do that. And they've seen the referendum record and have become discouraged. Unfortunately, that's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy and has led to a great deal of defeatism about constitutional change. And I think what I'd really like to see is federal governments hold more referendums to get back in the habit of doing so, because we don't want to have a constitution that is set in stone and that we're too afraid to try to change.
However, given that our most recent referendum, the vote on a republic, was last century, Dr. Kilday says we might need to rethink our assumptions on how Australians will behave. He says perhaps the most recent clue to how a referendum on a voice to parliament will fare is the 2017 postal survey on same-sex marriage.
There was no bipartisanship for change there, but nonetheless, Australians voted yes. And I think that's something to keep in mind as we move forward on a First Nations voice, is that our referendum history is quite old at the moment. We haven't held referendums really for quite some time. And there are different dynamics at play now, both in terms of the diversity of parliamentary voices as the popularity of the major parties declines, and also the increasing use of social media. And this will be our first social media referendum. So all of those factors will come into play if and when we vote on a First Nations voice, and are going to affect the dynamics going forward.
Dr. Paul Kilday from the University of New South Wales' Faculty of Law and Justice, ending Sarah Dingle's report.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.
Hey, podcasters, just wanted to mention, if you're looking for more stories about the law and justice without a whole lot of legal jargon, check out the Law Report on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.